Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in YouTube is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Is This Week in YouTube, episode 10, recorded Monday, June 17th, 2013. 10 Things Creators Should Know. Hello and welcome to This Week in YouTube, another fantastic episode. I'm Chad Johnson. With me, as always, is our great guy, Lamar Wilson.
Hey guys, how you doing?
How are you? How's the week been treating you?
You know, it's been a busy week, E3, and I might have hung around with you for a day. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I may have flown out to L.A. to cover some E3 video game goodness.
Yeah, we might have eaten a steak together. I'm not positive on these facts, but things might have happened.
Yes.
But it's been a busy, crazy week, and I'm about to head out of town this week. But I'm glad we're here on our new time. Mondays are 5-ish. Well, at least today is 5-ish.
It might be around 5:30, but we had a whole bunch of stuff happening in the studio. It's
the first episode.
Just how it works, right?
It's the 10th episode, but the first one on Mondays.
So. Right. So if you want to watch us live from now on, go ahead and hit us up on Mondays at 5 p.m. right after Frame Rate, which is a great block. Great lead in. So you get to watch all your cord cutting news and then straight into YouTube news.
Which YouTube is going to be the ultimate cord cutting
thing. It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
I mean, I watch more YouTube. I think Marquez. Oh, sorry. I told who was on.
Someone.
Oh, no. The mysterious
foreshadowing
guest,
here.
The mysterious guest will tell us how he doesn't even watch TV anymore. Right. It's all YouTube.
So with that, I guess let's go ahead and introduce our guest for this week, Marquez. How are you doing?
Not bad. Good to be here. Thank you for having me on the show.
Awesome.
Marquez Brownlee, MKBHD. You are the tech guy. Quality tech videos is your slogan, right?
Right. That's what I put. I'm not clever. I don't come up with slogans very well, but that's
it's right to the point. It's
simple is the best slogan.
Look, dudes, I just do videos at quality, all right? Just watch them.
Right.
That's all you should say.
Right. So if you haven't seen who Marquez is yet, he does these amazingly well put together, incredibly polished tech videos about all sorts of stuff. Phone reviews, news. Let us know a little bit about what your channel is and what people can expect from your YouTube channel.
So if you were to subscribe to my channel, you would get a lot of videos about technology, but just more of just the overall consumer electronics, because all of consumer electronics is fun, especially in 2013. So I've done, like you said, phone reviews, tablet reviews would be in there, laptop reviews, computer stuff. And then I kind of branch outside of that and I explain some things and I kind of talk about current events, maybe give a countdown of some recent events and maybe highlight, just cool stuff that's happening in consumer electronics. It's not all about reviews, but I do enjoy reviewing all kinds of stuff. So that's what you'll find there.
So I'm going to be the first one to ask this, and the chat room hinted at it, but I'm just going to ask. All right. What does MKBHD stand for? And particularly the people want to know the K. What is that?
Yeah, so the MKBHD, I did a 5 Facts About Me video, and that was obviously highly requested. So MKBHD, the MKB is my initials, and the HD stands for high definition, because I like pixels. Since day one, I just like crisp, clear, high DPI things.
So before YouTube made the whole transition to HD, you already had the idea to have HD in your name.
Well, it wasn't in my name at first. I just had Marquez Brownlee as my username. And then 720p was supported, and I suddenly just had to make everything 720p. And I was obsessed with finding the right settings to make it look as clear as possible in a web streaming format. And that was when I just started referring to them all as, welcome back to another HD video or an HD tutorial. So that it's hard to refer people to, hey, visit youtube.com/MARQUESBROWNLEE. So I just said /MKBHD is easiest to remember.
I wish we had one of your first videos queued up when you were like 12.
No, you don't.
You're like, no.
We're not going to embarrass you like that. But if you go to his channel, go look at the older videos. It is adorable. He's like, "Hi, my name is Marquez, and I'm going to talk about tech." That's him. That was his voice. That was his voice there. So, exactly. Marquez, you now, as I'm teasing. Oh,
hey, look at that. Look what we got.
Oh, man. Annotations.
Yeah, annotations like crazy. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, we won't embarrass you anymore.
he's like five there. Okay. So, you know, now you've been on YouTube for years, as we talked about. And, you know, just recently you started to blow up in a tech scene. So what has been one of your keys to success? I know you recently posted something on Google+ and Twitter that, you know, people shouldn't give away all their secrets. So just give us one of your keys to success.
I guess a key to what I do would be to establish just a niche. I know people have already probably said this, but establishing like what you like and just doing what you like. So I happen to be a big fan of high definition things. So I talk often about high definition displays and display quality and things like that. So being able to talk about something in great detail, at least for a tech channel, is really helpful. And this might not apply to like every genre because there's comedy and gaming and everything like that. But yeah. As far as tech goes, being able to provide value is huge for people. I've had more people thank me for videos than they have like, you know, really talk about the actual content of the video. Just thanks for the review. I'm glad you did this video because I wouldn't have known that, or I wouldn't have been able to, you know which device I want to buy, things like that. Mm-hmm. So when I'm making a review video, I specifically want to give people value and information and help them out. And that's usually the first goal, as I think about, yay, what would I want to watch? That's, I think, the most frequently asked question in my brain when I'm making a video is, what would I want to see? What would I want to watch in a video? What would I want to click on a video to see? And that's how the process starts.
Oh, I think that's awesome. I really do. And you definitely focus a lot on Google Android. And that's obviously because, again, you enjoy it. So if you enjoy it, then you're going to talk about it in a passionate way, which will build your audience, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And if you're knowledgeable about something, too, that helps a lot. Usually you become more knowledgeable about something because you've looked at it a lot. You've researched it. You've become interested in it. And you just follow deep into that wormhole or wherever you go down. So that ends up being an advantage you have without even trying. Just knowing a lot about something.
Okay, we did our Star Trek reference there. Okay, Chad.
On the tech side of things, what are you using tech-wise? Because, darn, it looks good. That depth of field is insane. Like, what's your normal camera lens setup?
My camera over here is a Canon 5D Mark III. And I bounce between a trio of lenses, but I mostly use Tamron 24-70 f2.8, which happens to have optical image stabilization.
That's
which
so
is
good.
Yeah, I love the lens, but even more so, I love the full frame sensor because moving from a crop sensor body to full frame made a bigger difference than I thought it would, which is great because I spent a lot of money.
And that's not a green screen shot that we're looking at right now.
Right. No, I actually was surprised. People think it's a green screen.
It's so sharp. It's so contrasted from the background. It sort of looks like it.
Yeah, it just really pops.
Yeah, I reach back into the setup and pick up things, and people still think it's a green screen, but it's definitely not a green screen. I haven't owned one in my whole life, so.
I have been dealing with that since my last place. People are like, you know, I will walk back to my couch, and people are like, no, that's a green screen.
At that point, you're just like, I don't think you know how green screens work. Like, you can't.
And why would I green screen an apartment?
Right.
If I had the capabilities, it would be way more elaborate.
It'd have dinosaurs and meteorites. Yeah. I mean, like a clock, really? No, and people in the background? No, that wouldn't. Yeah.
That's not interesting at all. So, dude, speaking of interesting, okay, so you are really popular and really big on Google+, which is something the tech audience is still trying to understand, or I would say more so the mainstream audience. What would you say your reason for success has been there? Because even with a small number of people, smaller than, you know, people have a million, 2 million, your engagement is off the chain. You can put a video out there and you'll get a couple thousand plus ones. So basically what I'm asking for is
the exact
secret so I can duplicate it for myself. So go on.
I'm still trying to figure out Google+. I love the site and the network and the people that are there. But it's, for me, it's been about consistency. I like just posting things and seeing what people say. Basically, it's all about getting some sort of a connection with the people that you're already interacting with. And it obviously helps to be on, I guess, a suggested user list or whatever it's called, where people who sign up for it automatically get like suggestions for certain categories of people to follow. And I'm in, I think, the technology category and one other one. So that's what people are expecting when they circle that. So, you know, posts that happen to be in that genre and as interesting as you can get inside that genre tends to be more easy to engage with. That's how you engage people, is being interesting and informative and valuable. So yeah, same, I guess, principles that apply to making YouTube videos. Hey, what would I want to see posted next? What would I want to see? And just post that and see what happens. And people,
you know, I don't like people like you because you try to make it all simple and easy. And I'm sitting here writing out these complex notes on step one, step two, how to do this. And you're just like, oh, just do what you like. And it makes me sick.
Yeah.
But
you're like, no, listen, I have to write a sentence about my video and it needs to be this and this and this. How would I write?
He's just a natural.
Yeah.
So,
I do edit posts a lot. Like, I'll post something and then I will, like, 3 minutes later when there's three comments about it, I'll be like, you know what? No, that should be different. And then I'll go back and edit it and save it again and post it. And I don't repost it, but I keep editing the post over and over again until it looks about right. And then I'll leave that and just hang out.
So you're a perfectionist.
Yes.
Sometimes,
That's why he and I get along so well, because we're both perfect. Even I'm perfectionist. I just never get it right. But he's a perfectionist that gets it right. So good job with that. Not jealous at all. last question. One of the last questions I had in the chat. Please jump in because I'm dominating here. I know you. I mean, this is full disclosure because anybody can find out this information. You're not on a YouTube network. There's a lot of pressure to jump on a YouTube network. Why have you chosen not to do it? Like, you know, follow the crowd and because I know you get offers probably every day.
For me, it's not a matter of choosing not to do it. It's just a matter of not choosing to jump on one. There's a whole bunch of boats passing by and I'm not jumping on a boat. Everyone else is jumping on one, but I'm not really jumping on it. And I guess the decision is just a matter of what I want to keep doing. Like a lot of the networks, their main pitch will be to offer services that I'm currently doing for myself, like SEO and production and things that I'm already doing. And that's what I would like to do. That's what I want to keep doing for my channel. So I don't want someone else to have control over that. And then, of course, they like to offer you all sorts of ways to monetize your content additionally, which is nice. But I'm enjoying what I'm doing now, so I'm going to do whatever I can to keep it that way and keep hands.
But I'm confused. You mean you don't want to give a network 10 to 30% of your money to just do what you're doing already? I'm not. What's the logic there?
I don't understand.
That makes sense. That's why. Yeah, right. That's a very good reason.
Right.
Now, Justine told me, she said there's no reason if you're doing what you're able to do, you don't need anybody else. There's no need to jump on a network until you need some help.
Yeah, complicate it if it doesn't need over to get complicated. People. Yeah. Is this right now your full-time job?
I'm a full-time student and student athlete. So it's like it probably takes the same number of hours out of my day as a full-time job would. But yeah, I'm a student and athlete.
Cool. What are you studying? Just go ahead.
My major is business and technology, and then I'm minoring in marketing and information systems. So a whole bunch of
how convenient,
right?
Tech.
I don't know if you'd like that field career. I don't. just based off of what I know you, I don't think that's a fit.
Yeah. I'm thinking. I take classes that actually, at least this year and the next year, are going to get into like what I'm doing on YouTube. So I actually kind of tie into each other, which is nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you had some great tips and suggestions for us, but Lamar and I kind of want to point people to an awesome article on New Media Rockstars. It's titled 10 Things Creators Should Know About the Latest Study on YouTube's Top Channels. Mm-hmm. And this article dives into 10 amazing sort of facts about the largest YouTube channels on YouTube at the moment.
Yeah. And let's talk about where it came from. This Columbia College, I'm familiar with one of the professors there. He's kind of sent it to me a little early, but it's they did a 175 page report, which I did read through, but I skimmed.
If every page was a character on Twitter, it wouldn't fit.
My God. No, a lot of it was charts. I didn't look through the charts, but I read a lot of the posts, and, you know, they had a lot of students writing about this. And I got to say, it was very objective. I mean, just by the numbers, you were able to see, hey, these are the people that are making it a success. What are they doing to make it right? And thank God for New Media Rockstars, because I did not want to have to go through the report and pull out things. So
yeah.
New Media Rockstars did it for us here. Like the first one. Now, before we go into, I do want to say they were focusing a lot on beauty channels, gaming channels, comedians,
right,
and then some vlogging. So I'm glad Marquez is here, because I wanted to see what his thoughts were about the tech part of the part of YouTube, because that's not really always, that's not represented in the top YouTubers at all.
Right. And it's interesting because they took just the top. So you're really, if you aren't in the top 100, you're not being represented here. So if there's a really small niche, like you're a floral channel, this isn't represented here. But I'm seeing things like Yogscast and Britney Spears Vivo and
you know, they included the Vivos. They did.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the first one mentioned here, Chad and Marquez, was YouTube comedians keep it short, gamers go longer. That's not what she said, but they were really talking about they were really talking about the timing of the videos. I think for comedians, it's like 325 to 459. It's about the average.
Right.
Whereas gamers, they go up to 9 minutes and they would not lose their audience, because the audience expects longer videos for gameplay and commentary. And I mean, it was kind of obvious, but it's also interesting that comedic videos shouldn't go too long, because you can kind of stretch the comedy too long and it's just not funny anymore.
Right.
What do you think about that, Chad?
Well, I mean, also it seems to really kind of put its finger on the attention span issue that everyone sort of talks about is, if you're going to get in there for a comedy video, it looks like 3 minutes, 25 seconds is a good place to hit. Also, if you're wondering how long your video should be, I just did a video a few days ago that was five and a half minutes. And I was kind of thinking to myself, you know, I feel like this should be probably shorter, but I didn't really know what to aim for. So now, knowing that this study is here and it's telling you, you know, three minutes, 25 seconds to 4 minutes, 59 seconds. Like, once you hit that 5 minute mark, that's probably a bad sign if you want to be that detailed about how you make your videos.
You know, it's interesting, because I looked at your video and I saw it in my box first, but I was short on time.
Right.
And this is how I look at my subscriptions when I know I have a short period of time. I look at the time first.
Right.
And when I see 5 minutes, automatically clicks, even if it's 5 minutes, 1 second, it automatically clicks in my head. Oh, this is going to be over 5 minutes. I'll get to this later.
Right.
So had George said 3 minutes, my mind instantly would be like, oh, I can watch this real quick.
Absolutely.
So it is more of a mental thing than anything. Now, the thing to keep in mind is, if you have, like Marquez does longer videos. Now, if you have 9 minutes of penetrating content, that will keep your audience engaged, and make the 9 minute video. But
that's a good point. Is especially if you're looking for information and not for entertainment. If you're looking for like a review or something like that, I may actually skew to a longer video. Do you agree with that, Marquez?
I see exactly that. I think tech is its own niche that has that sort of concentration, where if I'm looking for value or information, like let's say I want to go buy a pair of headphones. And I see the top three videos are, you know, 2 minutes long, 3 minutes long, and 10 minutes long. I'm probably going to look for the 10-minute video first, just because that's going to give me information. And when I start watching it, I'm going to keep watching until there's no more information, rather than, you know, a one-minute video. You probably watch the whole thing, but then you'll keep looking for more information if you don't get all of it.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, so that's a good point. Especially if the first 5 seconds, you can tell that it's facts. Like DP Review does these amazing reviews of digital cameras, and they are constantly like 8-9 pages long. But I know that how DP Review reviews their cameras, it is solid. It's not fluff. So yes, mm-hmm. I completely agree.
Yeah. Cool. So and so we got the second one, Chad. What's that?
Yeah. So the average YouTube subscribers for the top YouTubers is 1.6 million. So what's interesting is to look at this as an average of when have you hit the top? And it looks like there's kind of a plateau at the moment at around 1.6 million.
On average, yeah. You know, now the top channel is at 10 million right now, but you're right, the average.
Right.
So this doesn't apply for most of us, so we could probably skip to the next.
Right.
It's like, we're nowhere near. I mean, Marquez has 300,000 plus, and right. I have almost 200, but it's like, that's still a long way away.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been on here for years.
Yeah. It's interesting, because I remember when I believe that it was, gosh, I forget who hit the millionth subscriber first.
Right.
Was it Fred?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Fred.
Yeah, so I remember when that happened, and it just seemed like, it's funny because if you keep, and I constantly fall into this problem, is when that happened, I was like, wow, we must have hit the plateau. There's no more people on the internet wanting to watch videos. We're done.
And how wrong you were.
Of course I'm wrong, and it's, I don't know why my brain continues.
No, but no, that's how we all thought, because it wasn't that many people on YouTube at the time, and you cannot see even Smosh right now with 10 million. To us, it seemed like, all right, that's about
okay.
That's probably about it.
They've hit the cap, right?
But no, but yeah, what happens when we get half a billion or whatever? Yeah. I mean, like it's going to be crazy.
Right.
The growth on the internet. I'm really excited about it.
So the next data point really surprised me. That descriptions are brief. It says the median number of words for in each video description of the top 240 channels is 56.5. That's 56.5 words. And that is very intriguing to me, because I've been trying to sort of fill out my descriptions lately to hopefully get some sort of SEO boost, that if I have extra words and I kind of describe exactly what's happening in the video, and especially if I'm doing a Let's Play, I try to kind of cover every single mod that I get to, in a hope that that will surface on search.
It doesn't seem to work.
It looks like it, and there may be a weird sort of double axis graph going on, that once you have so many subscribers, you don't need that, like your subscriber number is more influential on your search algorithm than the type of words in yours. I'm completely making this up.
Okay, stop right there, because I think you are 100% on something. I've been saying that for like the last year or two, because there are some top people I know who do the worst SEO possible in their descriptions. All they do is put the social links, follow me on Twitter.
Right.
And when I go search for something with a tech video, they're number one.
Right.
And I think there is an influence with your subscribers and with your average views.
And it may... I mean,
think that's part of it.
Unfortunately, Google doesn't let us know what is the most important. It could also be that comments are a big thing. That if your commenters are talking about the Nokia phone in the comments, then if you search for that same Nokia phone, Google now knows that because there was conversation about that phone, they're going to surface that video faster. And if you have a lot of comments, then that's the video that gets put to the top. But anyway, it was very telling that for these top subscribed channels, descriptions don't seem to be that important.
Yeah, Marquez, what do you think about this? How are your descriptions?
Yeah, I see it, some of the comments hits it where most of these top 100 or so channels are all entertainment and comedy, and gaming is entertainment as well, in my opinion. And
it is.
My descriptions are usually not really long, but like a mid-length, basically. They'll have timestamps sometimes, and they'll often be filled with links.
Right.
And the links will pertain to things that I'm talking about in the video, because my videos, again, are for like, you know, value and information. So when I talk about something and I refer to the description, that's where you scroll down, view more info, and bam, there's all the things that I'm talking about in the video. So if you want to go in even deeper in detail, that stuff will be there. So sometimes I'll do a top five video, and the video will be 10 minutes long. So I'll give a timestamp to each of the things I talk about in the top five if you want to skip around and hit certain points. So I don't know. I think 56 characters is really, really short.
It's 56 words.
Yeah, 56 words is pretty short. It's like two sentences probably.
Right.
And then I'd say mine are probably around 400 words tops. I mean, I doubt if they're all that much, because a lot of the stuff in there is links. But yeah, I think it's about the genre. If you're going for tech, you're probably going to end up having a longer description. If you're going for entertainment, no one's really reading the description, so it doesn't have to be that long.
Right.
Right.
So,
yeah. No, I think the genre is very important. And we have a large tech audience who watches this. So, I think that fits in perfectly with them.
So the next data point is also very intriguing, and it caught me off guard at first, and then I kind of thought about it a little bit more. Let me just let you know what it is. Top independent YouTubers work with very little money. Now, I originally read that as they work for very little money, or they, you know, it kind of gives the interpretation, or my interpretation at first was that they're not getting a ton of money, that they're not, there is kind of like a, maybe a single part-time job or something. But actually what it is speaking to is that the budget of shooting is very little. So
yeah, it's nothing.
Right.
Jenna Marbles, she still uses her MacBook.
After sort of realizing that what they're talking about is production quality, not actual budget that you get back from a video. Yes. I mean, when you think about it, most YouTubers will shoot with a single camera, a single mic. They don't really have a crew that's going to help light up their vlog. I mean, that it makes sense. And so actually it doesn't seem that appealing now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Hey. Sorry.
Number five was most YouTubers don't have credits and intros. And I thought this was interesting because I've always battled between should I have an intro or an outro and should I not? Because part of me didn't want it to feel like a show, feel more personal. Part of me wanted to have a little bit more professionalism to it. I thought it was interesting. It said of the top 241 YouTubers, 58% of them don't have intros to their videos and 86% don't roll credits. Now, rolling credits,
that's a hard one.
Yeah, unless you're doing a huge production sketch right. thing where you have 20, 30 people in there. I don't think anybody's going to roll credits. But
right. This is Chad's vlog starring Chad.
Yeah.
Edited by Chad. Shot exactly. by Chad.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. At Chad's Studios, we with special thanks Chad and Chad's cats. Yeah,
definitely the cats.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny because it's a trope that I think that a lot of people who are starting off on YouTube get behind, that in order to make a video, they need to have a great looking. They need to now learn After Effects so that they can make an intro so that they can finally make a video.
But the bigger point, and I don't know if Marquez can agree with this, I think yours is around the same length. Like my intro, the one that's at the beginning, it really needs to be 2 to 3 seconds. Some people have this long intro. This is my show. I'm starting the show.
15 seconds later.
People ain't lost your audience. They left and moved on. They don't want, you save the longer song for the end. But, you know, like Marquez, yours is like literally about 3 seconds, right?
My intro, I just looked at the file, is 3.2 seconds long.
Yeah,
so it's really short. My outro has some length to it, but that's the outro. No one's
that's the outro is expected. Yeah.
No one's skipping the outro. So,
that's the biggest tip we can say. Keep it short at the beginning. What I like to use is I like to do a pre-intro, which means I'll say something funny or whatever in the beginning to kind of keep the audience engaged, and the intro comes in, bam, then that creates the extra funny, and then you start the video. Sometimes I don't, but that's what I like to use it for, kind of a punch to put in a video to make it a little bit more interesting. But, you know, it's not something that you have to have, but it does help for branding yourself at least.
Cool. So we got five more nice little tips. Next is that top YouTubers only post 1.25 videos per week. Now, there were some numbers that kind of moved around in here. So that would be... that the median numbers of weekly videos was 2.5, but the average is just shy of 3. Sorry, I misspoke in the beginning. And then gamers are in a different category that post close to 8.31, which is over a video a day.
Yeah, some do 3 or 4 a day.
Exactly, exactly. And then comedy channels will only do around 1 a week. And I'd say this seems pretty consistent with what I would expect. But it is interesting. It seems like at least once a week that it doesn't quite work out if it's less than once a week.
Yeah. Now, Marquez, like you and I have always talked about this. You don't have a schedule, but you tend to I'll let you say when do you tend? Is like every other day or every 2 days? Like what's your thought process?
I think 5 days is the longest I've gone without making a video in like a year or two. So it's usually every like 4 days or so.
Okay.
I don't have a schedule.
Do you do that to kind of let the video breathe a little bit so it can kind of accumulate some, you know, views and interest, or, you know, cause like I did Monday through Friday for years and I'll bounce back Well, I didn't do it consecutive years. I stopped and restarted.
Yeah.
But there's somebody, Daily Grace, you know, Chris Perillo. There's some people that works for, that format works for. But the bad thing is that you bury your other videos rather quickly. Do you stretch those out for that reason?
I upload and then I answer comments for that night and then I start working on the next video. So however long it takes me to make the next video or come up with and create the next video, that's how long it is between.
So you're always working.
Basically, I'm always in some sort of video mode at whatever day there is. Even if I come back from class, then all I do is write down the outline of a video idea that I want to do. That counts for me that night. So if I take 4 days to come up with the video and then 2 days to make it, then it'll be 6 days in between videos. It just works out that way.
Okay, cool. And the key, like really, if you're living off this, and is that if you can get away with one to two videos a week, that they need to be, you know, I mean, they need to be highly viewed videos, right, or you know, or good quality enough where because back then when I was doing this, because I wasn't getting that many views a video, so you're getting five to 10,000 views a video, you might have to do more regular ones to make up, you know, whereas Marquez can do one a week and get that many views. So it just depends on where your quality level is and your
audience. Views. Because if you're doing a vlog style channel, once the next vlog has sort of come out, normally vlogs are sort of updates on life or something that's kind of happening. I mean, we find that with tech news is that 3-month-old tech news really isn't that appealing to anyone. But a review on the Nexus One will be in 3 months. That's still going to be a hot video. So I also believe it matters a lot.
I agree. I mean, I agree to a point because
maybe vlog was the bad.
I think tech videos have a very limited live show. I would say tech news more so.
Right.
You know, like even Phil DeFranco, like anything he does, if it's the next day, I'm not going to go back and watch it because it's news.
Right.
And so I think the key is to really make your titles interesting enough where someone can look at it maybe 6 months down the line and just say, hey, I just want to see what he thought about this.
Right.
If it's a still viable product. But anybody in tech, Marquez, you might agree or disagree, is that we understand that our videos have a certain lifespan. Vlogs have the advantage of definitely being, I mean, they're forever. You can watch them anytime. Marquez, what do you think about it? Do you think, you know, tech videos, what's the average lifespan you've seen in your videos?
There's even subgenres within tech videos, because I would say an unboxing video could last a little while. A rumor video has a very short life because it's a rumor for, you know, a little while. A review video that could last a while because a lot of times there's different lines of products, and so for example, my Galaxy Note 2 review will probably be relevant until the Galaxy Note 3 comes out, and even then people will watch it for comparison. So maybe, you know, the life cycle of a product is the life cycle of a video about that product. That's right. Probably about a good like scale for that. And then there's just random videos about tech. Even if they're not news, there could just be a video. I did a video, you know, 5 facts about Android. That doesn't really have necessarily a limited shelf life or anything specific about it. So it's mm-hmm. a subgenre within tech that already is out there. But tech by itself, I would say overall, has a shorter shelf life than any other bigger genre, just because of the nature of how fast moving tech is.
Right. So next is number 8. Gamers get a lot of comments per view. So apparently, if you're doing a gaming channel, you're actually going to get a lot of comments on your game video than compared to other people's percentages.
Oh wow!
I can speak English. I swear. I wouldn't have expected. I would have expected some sort of lifestyle talking back and forth to the audience would have actually gotten more. And a passive game.
I know why. And someone in the chat just said it. I was thinking exactly what gamers are mean. Like, so if you make a stupid mistake
right
in the game right. or you don't mention something, right. they attack. Yeah. Oh. Those comments are attack comments.
And games, there's a lot of different threads you could do at any given moment. So I've done the same thing. As if I notice that someone's like, oh, if you just would have gone right there instead of left, you could have had like this awesome thing. Let me tell everyone so that if they are in the exact same position, everything will be fine. That's a good point. There's a lot more input that me as a user has on a game? Because I feel like I may have input that I could talk about a game, but I wouldn't have input if Jenna Marbles is talking about her life, because I don't know. It's her life.
That's her life.
Right.
So real quick, because I think we skipped this one. Number seven, collaborations.
Oh, poop. We did.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It all works out in the end, man.
Right.
So collaborations are frequent among comedians, rare among gamers. I think that's self-explanatory. You're rarely going to see gamers collaborating.
The only time, in fact, I've ever seen it is truly in a community. So there's the Minecraft community where you have, like, especially on a server, like there's a Minecraft server that people will always make videos together because that is the community that they are trying to get people to watch.
Okay. I don't understand the Minecraft thing, but that's okay.
The only time I've ever seen it is if there's a community around your game.
And comedians make sense. We've even been able to successfully do them in the tech sphere without necessarily being giveaways.
Right.
Like I just did one recently with a tech YouTuber who was here in town, Duncan 33303, which is too many threes, but he's popular and awesome, and a friend of ours. But we ended up doing a top five E3, and then we did I had a Galaxy S4, he had HTC One, and so it's like, hey, since we're here together, let's talk about the differences of the phone. So I think you're gonna see more of that, or you should see more of that in the tech community, because it's so, you're so by yourself in your one opinion and thing, and I think it's good if we start branching out more like the vloggers do. And share audiences. We all have a similar audience,
right?
I would
go back to community. If there's a community around you, you could pretty much make a video about it. But Tobuscus, who's part, or any of the top 100 people subscribed, they're probably not going to be like, hey, Call of Duty stuff, let's make a video together about it. Actually be true for someone who's less subscribed, who would make a community around themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what's this next one? Because I laughed when I read the report.
This was so funny.
I read the report and I laughed. I read this whole section and I just laughed.
The title of it says it all. YouTubers tweet often, not on Google Plus at all.
Yeah, literally the if I remember the exact paragraph, instead of the 241 people they looked at, it was zero.
Yeah.
For Google Plus. Now this one says 0.41. So that 0.41 might have been me. No, this is the top people. I think Ray William Johnson sometimes puts something on there.
But it says,
isn't that sad? This is
tweet
this is
almost YouTube. 7 times a day.
This is YouTube's thing that's integrated into Google, and it's, and people just like, no. Mm-mm. No, they're a grumpy cat about this.
Yep.
No.
Yep. It's not even a full post per day on the average YouTuber. It's half a post.
So Marquez, you're the big Google Plus guy. I'm heavy. I've been there since day one, just like you have. What's your take on this Twitter versus Google Plus thing?
The people who've been on YouTube and are like comedians and entertainers, it's easy to entertain via Twitter, right? Just 140
characters. You know, that's a good point.
Short attention span, short tweet, short videos. They're all short. They're just quick hitting comedy. It's easy to entertain there. No one's going to follow on Google Plus for additional entertainment. No one's expecting more stuff. Oh, did you see that Google Plus post? It was really great. No one's ever said that.
Right.
They're not posting unique content to Google Plus. I'm actually sharing things that aren't my own videos on Google Plus, and I'd be willing to bet that those 0.41 posts per day were probably just, ooh, I should put my video on Google Plus, and just dumping it there. So drop some unique content in other places, and you might see people actually follow you there. And if you post there, people will probably find it sooner or later. So,
Twitter is also kind of a platform where you can talk about what you ate for lunch or your quick side note on something else. I've never seen someone use the Google Plus platform, one, text only, two, so like the super quick, I'm eating a sandwich right now, I'm hoping to get macaroni and cheese later.
You get eaten alive over there.
I found that, though. I've seen a lot of that. There are interesting people that post like Amanda Rosenberg, random shout out. You probably never heard of her. She's a Hugo Berra's significant other and a part of the Google Glass PR team. She'll just post random stuff about like what she's doing with Glass. And since it's with Glass, it's just pictures of where she is and just, hey, I'm just posting from Glass right now.
That's the key. Pictures, images, and devices. Right. If you tie that in
news,
then anything that you talk about there makes sense, but it has to be visual.
has to be shareable. A lot of the Google Plus is so image heavy. If you find it, pretty much every post on Google Plus has some sort of image or media attached to it. You'll rarely find, you know, text only posts there. And even if you do find a text only post, it's probably in the form of an image with the text in it. So, it's very image heavy. And, you know, yeah, see her profile there. It's just, you know, neat stuff that she's found or doing. Not necessarily news, but it's not unique, you know, content that she's making, but it's...
Yeah, it's like a cross between Tumblr and some other...
I found that people really, especially with my audience there in Google Plus, they really liked the personality-based stuff. And when I stopped it, because I thought, oh, they just want more newsy stuff here. People are like, you know, I followed you for your personality-based stuff. So I found that that's important. It's another point I want to make about the top YouTubers that I've noticed. You get somebody who's big. I mean, they're huge on Twitter. They're huge on Facebook. Huge on YouTube. They get to Google Plus and they realize, oh, I have to work.
Yeah.
I have to build an audience. It's just
and there's no right API. You can't really. It's tied to your Gmail. You can't give someone else access to post on Google Plus. Yeah.
So they leave and give up on it because that audience is just not going to bow down to them. Oh my God, you're so and so on YouTube. No, you got to pay your dues on Google Plus.
Yep.
Simple as that.
Yep.
And a lot of them are not willing to do it.
Yep. Okay, so the last and final of this article, and help me understand this one, top YouTubers Ooh. Don't sterilize their
content. No, serialize.
Serialize. Okay. Well, thank God. Well, now I understand it.
If you want to put if you want to sterilize.
I thought it said, I really thought it said don't sterilize their content. Like, what, they don't bleep out cuss words? I'm very confused. Thank you. Dyslexia strikes again.
Thank you, public school system.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Okay, so they don't serialize their content. That makes a lot more sense that they're not trying to make a storyline. They're not trying to do episode 1, 2 through whatever, kind of like us on episode, 10?
Well, no. Well, episodes are fine. The serialized things is like, stay tuned for what happens next week. And it's a running, like Lost.
That
works horribly on YouTube, but one-offs work great. That's what most content is. But Machinima Prime prides itself in serialized sci-fi or type content.
Right.
And they're just saying it just doesn't. I've seen that people will watch the first episode because they punched it up and they say, oh, we got to watch this. And then you watch the next one and 80% of the viewers are gone.
Right. And it's
something about that. What do you say, Marquez?
Well, it's the attention span, because another thing with the game, like you said, Machinima Prime, their gaming videos, remember they're 9 minutes long on average. Like, those are the types of videos people watch longer because they have a longer attention span for those videos. But trying to hold someone's attention with comedy over multiple episodes, over multiple videos, that's like way past the average attention span of someone who's trying to get a laugh. So it's way easier to just leave that. Whereas if you're watching a bunch of gaming videos in a row, I'm sure someone could sit down and watch 39-minute videos in a row with gaming stuff and not have a problem with it. So it's about that genre-specific attention span, I guess gaming works.
Most people want to kind of format their content to be able to be drop-in and drop-out. So you could watch anything at any time. You could go to my channel and click any random video and be entertained. New Media Rexer did another article just about this, and they used Ray William Johnson's Equal 3 as a good sort of show off of what we're sort of talking about. You're able to jump into any of his episodes and be entertained and not feel like you're being left out of.
Yeah, and that's the problem with some comedians who, and to be honest, I have this too. I don't consider myself a comedian, but you know, when you have like those jokes that are like inside jokes that go over a period of time, but somebody just pops in and they have no idea what's going on. That's kind of off-putting. So you have to be really careful with those. I found myself recently reintroducing myself every time, you know, hey, I'm Lamar Wilson here, you know, just because there's always going to be new people watching, and you have to consider the new people as well as the old people who watch.
Right. So I just came up with a great analogy. And it's kind of terrifying how well this works, but the cereal is cereal. There we go. Cereal.
Serialized content. Now, are you worried are you worried that this is going to hinder your audience in the future if you have serialized content?
Serialized? I don't know. I hope their attention span is over the course of more than one video, so they appreciate the cereal.
That's a good point.
Serialized cereal?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's an inside joke that you never explain, so it drives people crazy when they see it.
Oh boy.
Serialized cereal.
Oh boy. Okay, so let's get into I hope that you enjoyed that list of 10 amazing, kind of eye-opening. And it also, you know what, if I was going to take away one thing, I kind of want to take away that there are so many different video genres that there is no one rule to rule them when making your content. Really think about your own audience, your own personality, what you want to make, because what each one of these kind of pointed out to me is, yeah, it works for that, but maybe not for this. So keep it open. Don't box yourself in, folks.
And speaking of boxes,
Got our viral video of the week. I hadn't actually seen this. Lamar,
what a lead.
Lamar covered my eyes to make sure that I would not watch this video.
What a lead in.
Okay, so here we go. First
Marquez
time.
Marquez sent this to us. Marquez Brent Show. Yeah, let him talk about it.
Okay. Just play it?
Yeah, play it.
My title is This Guy. The commentary is priceless. Just
wait.
Yeah, this is in a China Air, and he has no blanks to give.
What?
I think I got to say, much. This speaks for itself, doesn't it?
If I was his mother, I would say, you got more on the ground than you got on the cart.
That is what most of the comments say.
These blokes don't give a damn.
He's great. He's creating double work for himself.
I know.
If
that was my computer, I couldn't do anything.
Are you sure?
I'm sure talking crap, but I would go over to China and kick his butt. No, I wouldn't. But I would be upset.
Yeah. I mean, China Air breaks boxes will be the new slogan coming up.
Now, when Marquez and I looked at this, like, what was it? Like 2 hours ago, was that 75,000? Now it's at 162.
And if you dive down in the video statistics, that it spikes. Like, this video has been online for a little bit, but now it's kind of on like Reddit and Tumblr and things like that.
Wow, it's like nothing. It's been up for a year. It's been
exactly.
Wow.
So and just lighting up right now.
Yeah, which is weird how that happens. But look at it. This is just disgusting. Like, it's just like, come on.
What if that was
a baby in a box? What are you doing?
I just want to score this guy. It's like he got 2 out of 3 that round.
Two for three.
Yep, up. Fuck. Oh, 3 and 3. Oh, back to 1 of 3. Sorry.
So the guy in the plane is recording this, and the other passengers are just oblivious, or they have seen this before, so it doesn't matter to them. He's the one freaking out about it. Which is hilarious.
There's some chatter. There's some chatter on the plane, but this guy's commentating under his breath out the window like this guy.
Don't put your ear right with charter something.
This is going to go on YouTube. You warned.
No, if I was a video uploader of this, I'd be like, come on, this hasn't gotten any views in a whole year. I thought that this would be YouTube gold.
Yeah.
And it took over a year for it to really
explode. It took over a year, but now it's YouTube gold, and he's going to make millions. Wow. No, you won't.
Right.
Okay, so this next video, I was thinking, who gave this to me? Marquez, you didn't get this next one to me. But this was actually a very good tutorial on how to share used games on PlayStation 4, because you know there's a controversy with Xbox not sharing games, going all digital, things like that.
So I've been wondering.
Like, I actually enjoy tutorials, so I want to learn something here.
Okay.
This is how you share your games on PS4.
Okay, good intro. Okay, I'm ready. Let's learn together. I bet this will be a.
I can't wait. What? That's how you do it.
Burn.
This is a great campaign put forward by PlayStation 4. With all of the DRM hoop flu about the Xbox One and the always on connectability that they have been talking about, Xbox employees saying, if you want to play Xbox without an internet connection, buy an Xbox 360.
The best PR for the PS4.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was going to say the best PR for the PS4 so far has been the Xbox team. Gold.
They've been the most idiotic people. All right. So I do want to give an opinion on this, because I didn't really want to. If you do it in a video, the audience eat me alive. So I'll let the chat room eat me alive here.
Right.
So I will say that Microsoft messed up the PR war, and PlayStation is jumping on it. But PlayStation is going to do the same thing.
Oh yeah.
When it comes, because no, seriously, everybody wants to be like Steam now. Everybody wants digital downloads because digital downloads make the producers of the games happy. It makes them happy knowing that they're not going to be, like a used game makes them no money. So Microsoft just jumped in the pool early and was kind of an a-hole about it when PlayStation is about to, they're going to be getting rid of this in a year or two. They just decided to pull back and let Microsoft look stupid doing it.
Yeah.
But they both have to go in the same direction.
And it's come out that PlayStation's DRM policy is actually not much different than Microsoft's, that if a game developer would like to put DRM on their game, they can. And there's not, I mean, PlayStation is going to let that game company do that. The thing that they're betting on, and what they've said publicly, is that what they hope to do is create a presence around the PlayStation 4 that game developers will not feel compelled to put DRM on their games. That consumers will come to the PlayStation 4 expecting no DRM, and when a publisher puts DRM on their game, that it will be obviously the publisher's fault, not PlayStation 4's fault, which I actually think is a great strategy, and I appreciate it. But truly, when you get down to the nuts and bolts of the situation, it's not very different than the Xbox's
stance. It's not. Microsoft has no concept of how to do PR.
Right.
And it amazes me. This company's been around this long and they have just no clue. This has turned to This Week in Gaming. But earlier in the week when they were like, what? If you can't afford internet and you poor, the 360 is for you.
Right.
Okay. They didn't say it like that, but
that is the narrative that is being written about by this. I mean, there's no other way that you can put it. It's a complete lack of communication on the Xbox's team, because any official from Xbox who you would think would have a definitive answer on all of these controversial topics that should have been written up in a memo and sent to them, they all have no idea. In fact, there's this big thing blowing up about if your account on Xbox is banned, will you be able to actually play games on Xbox? And I saw one video from Major Nielsen saying, you can play all, if you bought a game, you can play it, even if your account is banned on Xbox. And then it just came out recently, that may not be the case. So,
yeah,
who knows? And it's totally Xbox's fault for doing this.
Too many hands in a macaroni. I don't know what that means, but it's too many, yeah.
Right. And if you're wondering why we've suddenly changed from This Week in YouTube to This Week in Video Games, me and Lamar did a little bit of exploring down in L.A. this last week, and we had a great time at E3.
Yeah, we did.
I went and flew down to L.A. Lamar was there at E3. We checked out all sorts of stuff, from talking to iJustine in the middle of the video to checking out what Sony had with Last of Us and Beyond Two Souls.
Chad got to go to Sony exclusively while I sat outside watching the luggage. That was nice, Chad.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry about that one. We could only fit two people into the room.
Yeah. They were like, oh, this big guy wants to come in? No.
Sorry. No. Yeah. Yeah. Who's, no. Yeah. Kid with red hair. You can fit.
Marquez, what did you think about E3? I know you're not a gamer yourself. You made that clear to me. But what did you think? Did you get to see any content from people that did it?
Yeah, I saw a couple hands-on videos. I saw, like, you know, my first eyes on of the PS4 and first eyes on and some exclusive games and stuff. People seem to be very enthused about the exclusive titles. So they're looking forward to certain games that they're going to get to play soon when they finally get these new consoles. So there's plenty of excitement over that. I just wanted to make the point that this is the second time that Microsoft has had terrible PR on This Week in YouTube, because I remember it was either last week or the week before with that Windows 8 ping pong.
The butt ping pong video.
Microsoft of
2013,
as well, right?
2013, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, Microsoft not having a great time with the YouTubes, but yeah, that's it's fun. So, E3, what I got out of that was that people are looking forward to certain games and tend to be having a great time hitting on the Xbox.
Yes.
That's what I got.
Yeah. This has turned into, and I'm not going to get too deep in this, but this whole Xbox thing has turned to a whole GoDaddy. What was that whole issue?
Oh, GoDaddy SOPA.
This has turned into that, because, like, if you mention that you even have an Xbox, people are jumping down your throat. Or if I say, hey, I said, I'm buying both. What? You can't buy both. What's wrong with you? You have to choose our side. I was like,
yeah.
I can do whatever. I'm a grown man.
The story has been that Microsoft is the harbinger of DRM, that they are leading the front lines on making sure that your content can only be bought once by you and no one else in your house can play it. No one, I mean, that's what the feeling is. That may not be true, but that's what the feeling is.
And it's even translated to YouTube to the point where if you make a video about the Xbox, people react to the product rather than the video. So as soon as they see Xbox in the title or Xbox in the thumbnail, it's a thumbs down and a comment about how bad the Xbox is, because that's that's the reaction. That's the storyline. That's how associated they are with this awful DRM issue where they just happen to be the face of it right now. And that kind of sucks.
And they don't understand it at all, but because they watch people who say, this is bad, this is evil, you know, they follow along with it, which is kind of sad.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and move on to our YouTube tip of the week. And Marquez is going to help us out with this. Do you have a tip for our viewers on strategy, technique, just a general plan, any idea?
And if you say just do it, I'm going to find you and hurt you. So
okay.
Right. Okay.
Well, my tip was kind of given away earlier because I kind of already said part of it. But my deal is that my most frequently asked question that I get like in my YouTube inbox and Gmail inbox is how to get started. So, because people are always wondering, you know, how do I become a YouTuber? How do I just get started? And the thing is about tech, like we said, one of those tips in that article before was that a lot of YouTubers produce on like a very low budget. But technology videos, once you start to get your hands on hardware and start to, buy things to review, that's not low budget anymore at all. So my tip for like getting started in tech is to just give show things that you enjoy that you already have. That's the easiest way. Things that you enjoy that you already have. And once you start talking about things you enjoy, you're obviously more enthused about it, you're more passionate about it, and you have more information about it because you already have it. That's the easiest way to get started. Once you get started, the train starts rolling and it becomes a whole new ballgame because the train has the momentum, and bad analogy.
I want you to finish this train thing. This is fascinating.
What would be the tracks and who's the conductor?
I always make analogies.
Is this a coal train or an electric train?
This is a freight train. So okay. It's got lots of cars, but you have to get the first engine rolling. So I'm giving tips on what kind of fuel to pour in the engine.
Gotcha.
And the tracks are already laid. There's a whole bunch of different tracks.
Now, do you have to have taken a physics class in trains before
trainology.
I can understand this?
I'm actually majoring in train
theory.
Train theory.
Seriously, let me ask you something about your tip, because I think you're on the 100% right track with that tip. I said track. That's hilarious. would you agree that someone, let's say there's a lot of tech kids, and we know that they follow us and they look up to us. Would you say that they, if they don't have the budget to even get anything, can't they just talk about stuff? Like when stuff comes out, can they just have an opinion and talk about it as if they do have it? I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's huge. Like a lot of people will give, I already mentioned that rumor videos have a really short shelf life, but just being able to talk about technology, being able to explain technology, being able to rant about technology, being able to give an opinion that no one else has displayed on technology, all that kind of stuff is low budget. Anyone can do it. Anyone can set up their webcam or camera and just talk about something passionately. And that's free, usually. And that's the easiest way to get started, I think, in the tech. And I think a really long time ago, because I had this YouTube tips series kind of going, and I stopped because I had about 5 episodes. But one of them was about like getting inspired and ideas and getting started. And I kind of, at the time, I wasn't doing a whole lot of different types of videos, but I kind of broke it down into hardware, software, and neither. And the neither section was just talking about hardware and software rather than actually having it in front of you. So you can talk about a review software, you can talk about and review hardware, and then you can just talk about stuff. And then that's free and that's the easiest.
Do you find adding structure to your channel really helps you kind of move along to move forward?
It might help with an audience because audience is kind of like a consistency and a sort of a theme, even though if the attention span might not be that long, but having a consistency or based around a theme would be probably the best way. It doesn't happen quickly. Like my theme changed over the course of the years that I've been doing videos, but it's probably better to have a theme than not to.
Cool. Well, we kind of want to continue this tradition of asking folks what their tip is for everyone else. Me and Lamar, our brains are just dried up with tips. So,
mine's gone.
Yeah, the brain or the tips? Either.
Brain. Yep. Zombie ate them.
Right. Gone. So we want to extend the question to you guys. Feel free to suggest something we haven't thought of. Feel free to kind of get creative, maybe step outside of you know, just a technical tip, although we are looking for just technical tips. But we want to hear from you, the viewer. So feel free to create a video around 30 seconds or less to make sure that it gets played on the show and upload it as a video response to this video on YouTube at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TWIYT or This Week in YT. Either of those vanity URLs work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I think that's a good thing.
Cool. Thank you so much. So I hope that we see from you, the viewer, when you upload your video.
Chad is being nice about it, but I'm just going to be on. Do it. All right. Leave video response. See, I'm not going to be nice. No, listen, see, you're the nice cop. I'm the
quit
bad.
Quit your job. Leave your girlfriend so that you can make a video for us.
And I left mine years ago. That's right. Why I'm able to do YouTube.
Right. Exactly.
I have no distractions.
Exactly.
So Marquez, what are you working on now? What if people want to? I'm sure you got subscribers already during this show, but what are you working on that's coming up that we can look forward to?
Yeah. I have a couple. I don't know if I can.
I want you to say it because I'm taking notes here so I can
right.
For my channel, of course.
What day are you going to upload yours and at what time so that I can upload mine 15 minutes before you do?
Exactly. Yeah. Just kind of give me the idea.
Well, I've been using the new MacBook Air for about 4 days now, and it's got 3 days now, and it's pretty impressive from what I've used. And I'm coming from another. I've been tweeting about this today. I've been coming from a laptop with a really high resolution, coming down to the MacBook Air, and that is just the one thing I can't. My brain doesn't like
it. Sandpaper on your eyes.
Yeah, it burns my pupils a lot. So the biggest challenge I'm going to have to switch to this new laptop is the display. So a lot of the video I talk about is a lot of the video I'm going to be focusing on. Talking about the display, but
do you have the 11-inch MacBook Air or the 13-inch?
I have the 13-inch 1.8 gigahertz, 8 gigabyte, 128 gigabyte.
Yeah. So that's only a 900 resolution. Were you coming from the Retina?
I'm coming from a 2560x1600 display.
So you're so spoiled.
Well, I know. My biggest problem with the Air 2 is I want to get one so bad, but. Exactly. It's the low. I can't even watch a 1080 video.
Oh, you poor babies. You got kids in Africa who don't have pixels. They're starving for pixels.
Okay. As MKBHD, though, that's kind of a thing already.
Yeah, like, he is a pixel guy.
I already know that I'm looking for pixels, and this is lacking the pixels. Yeah.
Cool. I cannot wait to watch whatever you make and whatever you have to say about that, because it's going to be great. And it's also going to be really awesome to watch because it always looks good.
Yeah.
When it's
so make sure
channel.
You subscribe to Marquez MKBHD on YouTube. Follow him on Twitter, Google Plus, MySpace. He has one of those too.
And Instagram. He's on all of them.
Yeah. Well, MySpace isn't listed there. Why didn't you list to MySpace, man? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I feel like there's a market of MySpace users who are just clamoring for someone on MySpace.
Someone to mention it.
Right. And they just did their redesign, came out of beta recently, too.
What is the post frequency for YouTubers on MySpace? Is it more than Google Plus?
It wasn't even in the study. It was so low.
Didn't even
now, Chad, you did a video recently. I'm not going to spoil it, but I will just say that you...
Interesting.
You put, You can put some food together in a cup and you have the nerve.
Interesting that you might mention that, Lamar.
You have the nerve to tag me.
You know, it wasn't really specifically a tag video. But we did a little bit of interesting stuff. We, being me in my kitchen. Just to kind of explain the video, I have a lot of foods that I eat on a regular basis. And I just kind of wanted to see if maybe they would all taste good together, blended together.
No.
So, oh my God.
Is that beer?
Chaz, you know, I drink that one on a regular. I took one out of all the food groups. So breakfast, lunch, those are the food groups, right?
I'm about to throw
dinner, dessert, and drink. And there you go. You know, I'm sure that it's all great together. So I blended it together and then took a big old drink of it. And at the end, the only way that I'm going to get satisfaction out of this video is if Lamar also makes the same video.
The hell I will. I'm sorry. You know what?
You're
my buddy. You're my buddy. I think you're cool, but I am no.
Yeah, well, look at my reaction here. I think that you'll find that it'll be a great, pleasurable, enjoyable experience when you get down to it. That just drinking all of your foods together is just going to be great. I mean, look at that face. I am so excited that I am drinking all of these things together. You can even hear, if I kind of scoot back just a little bit, the crunchiness of the ramen noodles.
Oh, no.
Man. And the gags.
That sounds like something.
And the possible throw-ups that may be happening. Anyway, I suggest that Lamar, one, makes the video, and two, that...
Until I'm able to put a pizza into my blender, it ain't happening. And even then...
You know, I'm sure you got a Hot Pocket, right? It's the same thing.
You get one slice in
same
there.
Thing.
Hot Pockets are disgusting now. I used to like them when I was younger. But it's
So anyway, that's what I've been doing the last week on YouTube. I made that hilarious video. And today, literally an hour ago, I uploaded another video of my Let's Play series.
Awesome.
So what have you been up to in this past week?
Wait, where can I find you, Chad?
Oh, if you actually want to see me possibly throw up while drinking my favorite, I've called it my favorite blend because I thought I was cute. You can go to youtube.com/omgchad and check that out and subscribe if you like the channel.
Yeah, I actually subscribed.
Oh, thanks. Look, I haven't even subscribed. If you kind of look over there.
I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, I haven't even subscribed. Can I subscribe right now? Anyway, what have you been up to this past week?
Okay, well, I did an E3 video right after we did our video. Mm-hmm. I went back the next day and did one for my channel. And that was fun. It was, like, I enjoyed working with you all, but it was nice to have my own day to kind of, just kind of
soak it in.
And then the Thursday I went back, I hung out with Justine and we played Mario Kart. It's on her channel, and I told her I would crush her, and okay, she beat me, but she gave me the wheel. She gave me the wheel.
Oh, she gave you the zero, the super latency wheel.
Yeah, so it wasn't really my fault.
And then
I did a Galaxy S4 versus HTC One discussion with my friend Duncan 33303. Coming up this week, I will have a video out tomorrow or Wednesday. I don't know what yet. This is a weird week because I'm going out of town. I actually will be in New York tomorrow night. Tomorrow night or Wednesday morning. Like, I get in like 6 in the morning. It's an overnight flight, and I hate those. But I'm going there to chat with Virgin Mobile about some stuff. They want me to come out and check out their digs. I'll spend some time with Mashable, which would be kind of cool, too. So I get to see their digs. So, and Marquez and I are going to go get a pastrami sandwich at Cat's Deli. That's my favorite place. Yes.
That's the plan. That's a pretty specific plan.
I have a very, very specific agenda, so we'll see how that works out for video.
That is perfect. Awesome. Well, that about wraps it up for this week in YouTube. Marquez, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to have you. Make sure you go and subscribe once again. If you would like to catch more episodes of This Week in YouTube, you can head on over to twit.tv/YT. And there you will find links to subscribe to our YouTube channel, to podcast version of the show.
Audio and video.
Audio, video. We encode it in so many different formats. There's also our show notes, which have links to our guests for the show and archive all the way back to episode one. So you can do that if you
that
want.
That far back? Whoa.
All the way back. Oh, to episode zero, truly. I mean, we went into, yeah, negative numbers there. If you would like to watch us live, our record date and time has changed to Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, right after frame rate, like we mentioned earlier in the show. But come and check it out live. It's fun to have you in the chat room. We've had a whole bunch of awesome people. I see Bill Hicks in there right now, Tom Z, and you, Marquez, are in there. It's awesome. So check it out. And that about wraps it up for this week in YouTube. Thank you guys so much for watching. See you guys next episode.
Bye.